the headlines in for Femi. Okay. So the numbers on the Dow and the S&P go up and down, and investors may look for a bottom in the market or see short-term trends in their investment patterns. But there are some long-term trends in the U.S. economy that are perhaps more relevant to what's going on in America today. If you hadn't already taking a look at these numbers, here's a splash of cold water for you. A recent analysis of the latest available data from 2007 shows that the gap between the net worth of the typical African-American family and the typical white family is actually growing. We hear a lot about the difference between the super rich and the rest of America, but if you divide things racially, the numbers are, if anything, even more alarming. Meju Louie is director of the Closing the Racial Wealth Gap Initiative at the Insight Center for Community Economic Development in Oakland, California, and she's at a conference in Washington, D.C. that's attempting to address the issue of the racial divide in the U.S. economy. Meju, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much, John.
Let's take a look at these statistics because they really are amazing. What is the gap, the income gap, between your typical African-American family and your typical white family in America?
Well, for every dollar owned by the typical white family, an African-American family only has 10 cents. So this is really quite a shocking number. I know that when we looked at it, we just couldn't believe it.
And let's just take it apart for a second. Let's take it apart. It's income and ownership of assets. Describe how that calculation is made, if you could.
No, this is not the income number. Income for African-Americans make almost 70 cents to the white dollar. That's still a big gap. That's only not even three quarters, but a dime for a dollar is amazing. Now, when we talk about assets, we mean both tangible and intangible financial assets. So, for example, the home equity that you have if you own a small business, but also things like simply savings accounts, retirement accounts, investments, everything in your portfolio.
So what is it that's working to widen this gap? Because the latest numbers, and again, this is from the Federal Reserve, right?
It is. It's the Survey of Consumer Finances, which is done every 3 years. Yes, so these are government numbers. Well, the wealth gap, you really have to look at history in order to understand why it is the way it is. So, you know, I like to say that income is like a snapshot, but in order to understand wealth, it's kind of like a movie, because what your parents have and what they're able to pass down to you makes a huge difference. And throughout United States history, our government has passed policies that have given boosts in wealth building to white families, and they have denied those same opportunities to families of color. So that's why we're in Washington, too. We're thinking that, well, policies created this gap and policies can close them, so we really need to address it. But in terms of the recent growth, for one thing, as people know, that the home mortgage crisis really hit the black community perhaps the hardest of any, partly because they were more likely to be steered into those high-interest subprime loans than white families were, although many white families got caught up in it as well. So the loss of wealth recently through the foreclosure crisis, which started earlier, actually, than what some people say, you know, when the recession started, it actually started earlier in the black community.
What is the distribution of credit, do you think, racially? Is there a way of tracking how available credit is from one race to another, from one neighborhood to another?
Yes, we've also taken a look at some of those numbers, and the credit scoring system is completely crazy. Nobody really knows how it works. It's completely untransparent, and people of color routinely are given lower credit scores than whites, which means that they get, again, higher interest loans if they need them. If you are going to start a small business, for example, you're much more likely to have to use your credit card at a high interest rate than to get a prime loan to start that small business, which is at a reasonable interest rate, because your credit score is not as good. And this is really a bad thing for our economy as a whole, because we're not creating jobs fast enough. So we really need to have more people either self-employed or starting their own businesses. And those are the people that will spend the money in their own communities, hire other people from their communities, and really get this economy moving again from the bottom up.
And all of these statistics tell the story of inhibitions to wealth building for African-American entrepreneurs and their families, that incrementally money is taken in the form of higher interest rates or not available credit or being steered into a high-risk sort of mortgage portfolio. All of those things, not only do they have an impact on individual families, but they prevent wealth building at the much higher rate of whites, and that over time creates this gap and actually mitigates to or assists in widening it, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, the reason that we focus on wealth, too, is that it's not that we want everybody to be wealthy. A lot of people think of wealth and wealthy as the same thing, but it's not. We're talking about, like, if you only have income, you could just as soon call it outgo because it comes in and it goes out at the end of the month. You really need to have assets, and we're figuring that out right now because people are getting laid off. If you don't have that cushion, you won't be able to weather those rainy days. And not only that, you won't be able to sort of take charge of your own life and have economic mobility and security, which is really the American dream. So we're really denying the American dream to so many people right now.
So down in Washington, I guess the question really is, what are the policy considerations, for people who are going to attempt to advocate to the Obama administration that something needs to be done here, either with the tax code or as we think about stimulus programs to deal with this income gap? I mean, the political worry, I would think, is that Barack Obama, the first African-American president, could preside over a widening of this very racial gap.
Yes, and that would be a real shame, and that's really what we are here to talk about. We want to say that, yes, we need to fix this economy. We need to pull everybody up. We don't want anybody to be living in poverty or to be experiencing downward mobility as so many people are. However, if you look at these numbers around wealth, we have two tasks. We have to close the overall inequality gap in our country, but we really have to address the racial gap because if we're posing as a democratic country, as a leader of the world in those ways, we have to show them that we are practicing what we preach at home. But even more than that, if we leave some people out of our economy can't grow. So here's a whole untapped resource. We really, people in communities of color have a lot of entrepreneurial energy. They want to jump into the economy. So if we can help them do that, this is not a time to leave anybody behind. This is a time when we need all hands on deck to really get this economy going.
Very quickly, is this about preferences economically, or is it about removing obstacles?
It's about removing obstacles, but it's about being very intentional and looking closely at what the numbers are all the time so that you don't unintentionally pass policies that widen the gap.
All right. Well, the focus in Washington, policies that will try to narrow the gap between assets available to African-American families versus white families, an enormous gap that Meju Louie, director of the Closing the Racial Wealth Gap Initiative at the Insight Center for Community Economic Development, explained to us from Washington. Meju, thanks so much.
Thank you, Jen.
So we're asking if you're seeing the end of the dark days of spring, and is spring sunshine on the way? How do you know spring is on the way? One of you called in about a Harley Davidson being a sign of spring, so we played the sound of one. And, of course, one of you called in to take issue with that.
The sound bullet you just played of a motorcycle starting was not a Harley. Harley doesn't sound like a Japanese bike, which is what you were playing.
And so the real Harley is, of course, the dual pistons and sounds very, very differently. But we understand that your signs of spring are very clear. 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytakeatthetakeaway.org. That's The Takeaway. Let's ride off.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation.